Advent began several weeks ago with a focus on the second coming of Jesus at the end of the age. That time when Jesus will appear in glory with the angels and judge the living and the dead. His second advent will be the consummation of history and bring this age to a close, ushering God's reign in fullness. And in the past two Sundays, we've heard from John the Baptist, one of the prime voices of this season, that prophet out in the wilderness who calls us to prepare ourselves by repentance, by turning to God. John proclaimed the Messiah is at hand, salvation is nearer than when you first believed. So be ready, watch, prepare your hearts for Jesus to enter in. Today we make a shift. Every year on the fourth Sunday of Advent, our focus shifts from the second coming of Jesus to his first coming as the child of Bethlehem. In two of the 3 years of our lectionary cycle, we hear the story told from Mary's perspective. We read from Luke's Gospel. But this year is the different year. We hear from Matthew, and Matthew doesn't really mention Mary, but instead tells the story of the birth of Jesus through the perspective of Joseph. And that makes it really different. Luke's version really, I think, is what we think of as the Christmas story. Luke is where we hear about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying, "You will bear a son, the Son of God." Luke is the one who tells us about the shepherds keeping their flocks out in the field and the heavenly host appearing to them. Luke is the one who tells us how Mary experiences these things and treasures them in her heart. And Luke is the one who tells of the shepherds returning after visiting the child, praising and glorifying God. Those familiar images, so much a part of our thinking of the Christmas story, are not part of Matthew at all. In Matthew, we hear how he is engaged to a woman named Mary, but before they come to live together, Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant. This means Joseph needs to dismiss her. Matthew tells us he is a righteous man, and being righteous means that Joseph follows the law. He lives by the commands of God. So no matter how much Joseph loves Mary, how much he might want to marry her, he's required to annul the marriage contract because apparently she is guilty of fornication. According to the law, he could not marry her if she was pregnant with another man's child. As a righteous man, he must love God more than Mary. So Joseph decides he will divorce Mary, but he will be merciful. He will do this quietly. And there's good reason for this, because in the book of Deuteronomy, it is said that potentially Mary could actually be stoned if indeed she was found carrying someone else's child. So Joseph wants to avoid this, avoid disgrace, and protect Mary from this public judgment. He goes to sleep, though, and everything changes. An angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and tells him, "Do not be afraid. Do not dismiss Mary, because the child she carries is of God. The child she carries is of God." One little word, wow. The child she carries is of God, not another man. Because Joseph is righteous, I think, he's able to follow God's command. He believes this dream. He believes the message, and he marries Mary. Contrary to what the law might say, maybe going against his own understanding of what it means to be faithful, Joseph dares to follow the angel's message. Joseph takes action that on appearance level could be at odds with religious practice, with the conventions of his time. And doing so, he helps to usher in God's plan of salvation. Through Joseph's risk, God comes among God's people to save them. I've been thinking about Joseph this week, and I can't help but wonder, how much of a challenge was this for him? Was it a challenge for him to do something that, at least in one interpretation, seems contrary to his understanding of being righteous? Did he wonder if this was real? Could God actually call him to such a surprising action as marrying a woman already pregnant because her child is of the Holy Spirit? Or was he able to have quiet trust and confidence to know the message he was given was from God and to follow it? I don't know the answer to those questions, but what I know is that Joseph listens to that dream. He, in that dream, understands he has received a message from God. And this is not the first time he dreamed. This is the first time. Oh, I am a mess today. This is the first time, but it's the first of three that happen in Matthew. Just after this, he has another dream in which God says, "Flee to Egypt. Herod wants to kill the child." And he does. And then later, in a dream, he is told, "Herod is dead. You can return." And so Jesus, Mary, and the baby return. They go to Nazareth, where Jesus grows up. Joseph listens to his dreams. He trusts that what he experiences in them is from God. Somehow, Joseph seems to understand that dreams are important and that God can speak to us through them, that our dreams can hold a vision of what is possible. They can contain the hope of things changing, that things will not always be as they are, that dreams can express our deep longing, our deep desire, even the desire of the ancient prophets who proclaimed that trustworthy promise of God, that promise to sustain the people in exile, sustain them with that promise of God's restoration, of return to their homeland, of the earth again abundant with growing crops. This is the dream of those who through the ages have seen clearly the world is not as God desires, and then have dared to dream for the fulfillment of God's promises, to long for God to enter in and restore all things by God's love and God's justice. I think as followers of Jesus, we are called to be such dreamers. And the season of Advent is a season for dreams. This is the season for dreaming of how a world governed by hatred and greed and violence can be transformed. This is the season to express our deepest longings and hope, the ways that we desire things are different. Advent is when we dare to dream for the seemingly impossible. The story contains all these impossibilities, God entering into human existence to save us, coming into the brokenness and suffering of our world, that God will save us from our reliance on ourselves, on our selfish ways, that God will save us from narrow thinking and judgment and expand our minds, our imaginations, that God will redeem and save us so that we embody more perfectly God's love for the world. This Advent, we are called to believe the impossible, that a young woman can be pregnant with the Son of God by the Holy Spirit, that a helpless baby born to unmarried parents in a humble animal stall can save us, that a vulnerable child is the fulfillment of the prophet's longings and of God's ancient promises, that the child Jesus is God putting on human flesh, living among us, showing us love in his very being and life, and that this child experiences a gruesome death on the cross as a young man, but that gruesome death sets us free from the power of sin and shows us that love is stronger even than death. And so like Joseph, we are called to dream, to dream of a world restored, a world made new and whole by God. We're to hope for the impossible to happen. And then, like Joseph, we are called to respond by saying yes to God's call. And in doing so, we are able to do our part to bring about the kingdom of God's reign in this world. But to say yes, I think we need to be clear what that means, to be clear what we are asked to do. Because like Joseph, when we say yes to the call of God, we may be placed in places that challenge us. God may very well lead us outside our comfort zone, may lead us beyond what we think we know. Faithfully following Jesus can lead us to actions that others may not understand, may even ridicule. We will be called to a life that is surprising, unexpected, perhaps at odds with the values and ways of this world. And so it can be challenging to say yes to this way of life. But also there's promise. The promise that this way is the path to richer, more abundant life than any other. Jesus is the one who comes to save us, who comes to live this life with us, walking in the way of love, giving up his life for us in love. Jesus is the longed-for God with us, Emmanuel, who enters right into the heart of our lives, bringing his promise of life abundant, of love stronger than death. In our collect today, we prayed, "Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself." Jesus stands ready to come to us daily, to visit us in our joys as well as in our sorrows, to set us free to love without counting the cost. And like Joseph, we are simply called to say yes to Jesus entering in, to say yes to Jesus casting out our fear and anxiety, to say yes to Jesus bringing us to places we can scarcely dream of, bringing us to a way of life rich in love and mercy. And so in this final week of Advent, and we have a gift this year, we have the whole week ahead of us, in this final week of Advent, may we prepare our hearts through times of quiet, of prayer, of listening for God, of watching with expectation for God to enter in. May Jesus find in us a dwelling place, even as large and spacious as a mansion, a place prepared for him to be born in us, so that his love fills our hearts to overflowing and spills from us out into the world. Amen.